A good day to all of you and warm welcome to this subject of managing IT projects. We are going to now look at chapter 6 on how to manage the risk, IT project risk management. Let us understand what are the learning objectives of this chapter. So the first learning objective of this chapter is to understand what is risk and what is the importance of good risk management to a project. Okay? We want to understand the elements that are involved in risk management planning and the contents of what is a typical risk management plan. We want to list the common sources of risks that you find in information technology projects. We also want to understand or describe the risk identification process, the tools and techniques that are involved or required to help identify the project risk, and the main output. What is called the project risk register? How do we create a risk register? We also want to discuss the qualitative risk analysis process and explain how to calculate the risk factors, create a probability, impact matrices, and apply the top 10 risk item tracking technique to minimize and mitigate the risk that the project may face. We will also try to understand the quantitative risk analysis process and how to apply decision trees, simulation, and sensitivity analysis to quantify risks. We will use different examples to understand different risk response planning strategies to address both negative and positive risks. We will also discuss what is involved in risk monitoring and control and how a software can be used to assist in project risk management. So these are the learning objectives. Now if we have to look at the overall project management schedule, how the whole overall project management works, if you see where are we right now? So from the introduction to the strategy, to the organization, to the define the scope of the project, the estimate, the project network, and then we come to what is called managing risk. So this chapter is going to focus on this element of the project management, which we call managing project risk. Now, what is the importance of project risk management? Risk management as a subject developed subsequent to the project management techniques and is understood to be the art and science of identifying, analyzing, and responding to risks that are inherent in the project and can occur at any time in the life of the project. These risks can put the project off track and therefore need to be identified so that the project can be completed on schedule and within the budget. Now, risk management is often overlooked in the project management process because of our preoccupation with the budgets, the timelines, the completion, the implementation. But giving adequate thought and process, time and resources to this process of risk management can improve the project management success by helping select good projects, determining project scope, and developing realistic estimates to overcome these risks. Now, research done in the area of risk management shows that there is a need to improve project risk management capabilities and understanding. Now, a study by IBS and Quack showed that risk has the lowest maturity rating in all knowledge areas of project management. A similar study was completed with software development companies in Mauritius, South Africa in 2003, and risk management there also had the lowest maturity. A KLCI study shows that benefits of following good software risk management practices can result in better cost control and better timelines for achieving the required project, for implementing the required project. Now, this is, the project management maturity levels by different areas, by different industries and knowledge areas. So, if you take the industry, engineering and construction industry, if you see the knowledge area scope, They are rated at 3.52 out of 5 in time. They are 3.55 out of time. In cost, 3.74 out of time. Quality is slightly lower at 2.91. Then risk is at 2.93. So quality and risk are rated lowest in terms of maturity in the engineering and construction sector. If you take the telecommunication industry, on the other hand, if you see, everything else is about 3 except risk. Risk is at 2.87, even lower than the risk maturity level of engineering and construction industry. But if you see in terms of quality, telecom is higher compared to engineering construction sector. If you take IT and information systems, this is how the risk management is happening. If you see again, the lowest in this is the quality as well as the, in this it is, the risk is the lowest at 2.75. But in IT, you also have quality at the lower level, human resources also at a lower level, and procurement also at a low level. And high-tech manufacturing, again if you see, risk has the lowest level of maturity even in high-technology manufacturing sector. So if you see overall, risk across industry sectors occupies a lower level of understanding and a lower level of maturity by project management professionals working in these sectors of the industry. Now let us identify or understand what is a risk. Okay? Now a risk is a situation or an event which involves exposure to danger. Okay? The combination of a probability of the event and its consequences are typically called as risk. Now, risk is a likelihood of an event which can either have a negative or a positive impact on the project, which means either on the delivery or the outcome of the project. Now, the effect of uncertainty on the project objectives, as defined in ISO 31000 of 2009 and the ISO Guide 73-2000 of 2002, say that risk could include uncertainty of events which may or may not happen. Risk can be due to uncertainty caused by ambiguity or lack of information. Can also be defined as both negative and positive impacts on objectives. And this risk understanding has been developed by an international committee of subject matter experts. Several thousand subject matter experts coming from over 30 countries. So this has been, identified in the ISO 31000 of 2009. Now, what are typical examples of project risks? So a typical example of project risk could be, absenteeism, it could be attrition, it could be change in scope of work, it could be breakdown of equipment, it could be relation-related risk between the client and the service provider. So, these are the kind of risk, examples of risks that we can have in a typical project management, in a typical project. Now, let us look at what are positive and negative risks. Okay, so a dictionary defines a risk as a possibility of a loss or injury, or something that can create a loss or an injury. A negative risk involves understanding the potential problems that might occur in the project during its life cycle of implementation and how they can reduce the chances of project being successfully completed. Negative risk management is like a form of an insurance. It is an investment that we make in the project to ensure timely completion without cost and time overruns. Risks, on the other hand, can also be positive. Positive risks result in good things happening to the project and sometimes creating opportunities. A general definition of a risk is an uncertainty that can have either a negative or a positive effect on meeting project objectives. The objective or the goal of project risk management is to minimize the potential negative risks, while if we have an opportunity of maximizing the potential good risks, which can be advantages to the project. Now, let's look at some of the best practices in risk management. Now, some organizations actually make the mistake of only addressing tactical and negative risks when performing project risk management. David Hilson, the of www.risk-doctor.com, suggests that this problem can be overcome by increasing the scope of risk management to encompass both strategic risks and upside risks, which he refers to as integrated risk management. So instead of only looking at tactical and negative risks, we may also look at strategic risks which the project may involve. Now coming to the risk management process. Now risk is an uncertain or a chance event that planning cannot overcome or control, and therefore one has to live with the risk. Risk management is a proactive approach or an attempt to recognize and manage internal events and external threats that affect the likelihood of a project success or impact the achievement of a project success. The broad areas that risk management covers is understanding what can go wrong, which is the risk event. Then secondly, how to minimize the risk event's impact, which is the consequences. Then thirdly, what can be done before the event occurs in terms of anticipation, and what to do in the final eventuality if that event occurs, which is the contingency planning. So these are the broad areas that risk management encompasses. So if you see the risk event graph, so if you see the project life cycle, which is typically, covering the entire timeline of the project from starting of the planning process to the complete delivery process, and if you take the risk on a level of low to high, now the chance of occurring the risk as the chance of occur the risk happening is high, as it keeps dropping, this is how the thing goes, okay, and this is the cost to fix the risk. So even if the chance is high in the initial part of the project, the cost to fix the risk is low. But as we progress into the project and as the project starts getting implemented, the cost of fixing the risk keeps on gradually increasing. Whereas the chance of that risk occurring keeps on gradually decreasing. So the risks are highest at the initial part of the project and have the lowest chance of occurrence at the tail end of the project. Whereas the cost of fixing the risk is the lowest at the beginning part of the project and highest at the tail end of the project or the finishing part of the project. So this is the important thing to understand the risk and the event graph. Now, what are risk management's benefits? Now, one of the first benefits, it is a proactive approach to identify the risks in advance or foresee all the risks in advance and take steps to mitigate it. So it's a proactive approach rather than a reactive approach. It reduces the chances of surprises and negative consequences in the project management process and in the project implementation schedule. It prepares the project manager to take advantage of appropriate risks. It provides slightly better control over the future and improves the chances of completing the project within time and budgetary requirements. Now, this is the total risk management process. So if you see the diagram on your screen right now, you see step number one in the risk management process is the risk identification. What is the risk identification step? We analyze the project to identify the potential risks. Now, we can only identify the risks that we know or we understand. For the known risks, the step number two is risk assessment. Now, we try to assess every risk in terms of what is the likely impact it may have on the project? Two, what is the probability of this risk occurring? And three, are there any ways by which we can control this risk? If at this step we find some new risk coming up, then we go back to the step number one and put that in the risk and continue the step. Step number three is the risk response development. Okay, so once we have the risk and we understand, we assess the risk, then we develop a strategy to reduce the possible damage and we create what are called contingency plans. The fourth step in this is the risk management plan or the risk response control. So we implement the risk strategy, we monitor and adjust the plan for new risks, and we do a change management process to manage the risk process. Now, this is the overall risk breakdown structure. Like you have the work breakdown structure, this is the complete risk breakdown structure. So, if you see a project, the project has technical risks, external risks, organizational risks, and project management risks. Okay? In terms of the technical risk, the first risk is the requirement. Do we have the complete requirement? Is the scope of work well defined? Okay? The second risk is in the technology. Have we chosen the right technology to implement the project, or have we taken a new technology which is not yet proven? Thirdly, what is the complexity of the software development and the interfaces involved? What are the performance issues and reliability issues of this technical, of the software as well as the technology? And how are we going to handle the quality control process? So, and that, what are the risks associated with quality? Now, what the second part of the project risk is external. The first part, I mean, under external, what is the risk that subcontractors, suppliers and vendors are putting onto this project? Two, what are the regulatory risks? What are the market related risks? What are the customer related risks? And what are the weather related risks? Then the third part we have is the organizational risk coming from project dependencies with other departments and other SBUs. Then availability of resources, attrition rate of resources, funding and prioritization. And finally, we have the project management related risks in terms of estimation. Have we done the right estimation of the work involved, the effort involved in completing the project? This estimation will create the resources, and therefore related to this, have we hired the right resources? Then risk related to proper planning, risk related to controlling, and risk related to communicating the project and its requirements down the line to every person in the project team. So this is the risk breakdown structure of a project in to terms of technical, external, organizational, and project management. Now, if we have to do for, let us take one project as an example. Let's say we want to do a product development project. What is the risk profile of a product development project? So in terms of the technical requirements, are the requirements A, understood, and B, are the requirements stable? Two, in design, does the design of this product depend on unrealistic or very optimistic assumptions? Testing, will the testing equipment be available when needed? Development, is the development process supported by a compatible set of procedures, methods and tools? Schedule, is the schedule dependent on completion of other projects or inputs from other vendors and suppliers? And budget, how reliable are the cost estimates? In terms of quality, are quality considerations built into the project? Management, do people know who has the authority for what? In terms of work environment, do people work cooperatively across functional boundaries and not work in silos? Staff is experienced or is it understaffed or too expensive? Customer, does the customer understand what it will take to complete the project? And in terms of vendors and contractors, are there any ambiguities in the contractor's task definitions and in the contracts that we are going to sign with the contractor for this project? So typically, once we have an understanding of the risk, we can put this on a scale like this: 1 very low, 2 low, 3 moderate, 4 high, and 5 very high, and put a matrix which defines what is low to very high on this scale. So for example, if we take cost, insignificant cost increase will be very low. Less than 10% cost increase will come under low, or rating scale will be 2. 10 to 20% cost increase will qualify for 3. 20 to 40% cost increase will qualify for 4. And more than 40% cost hike will qualify for 5. So similarly, you can define the levels of for time, for scope and quality, so that we can apply this scale to the risk. Now, from this is a risk assessment form which allows us to do failure mode and effects analysis. Okay, now in this we have identified the risk event, where what is the area where the risk can happen. Then we've given a probability in terms of likelihood. Then what is the impact of that and how easy or difficult it is to detect that risk, okay? So for example, interface problems have a, you know, likelihood probability of 4, impact of 4, and detection difficulty of 4. System freezing, likelihood is 2, impact is 5, detection difficulty is 5. User backlash 433, and hardware malfunction 155, okay? So, and when can these problems occur? So, interface problems can happen during conversion. System freezing problems can occur during startup. User backlash can happen post-installation. And hardware malfunctioning can happen during installation. So, if you look at the risk severity matrix and you put it on impact and likelihood, this is how the red zone, if you see this red zone, is typically the major risk areas. Then if you see the yellow zone, which is a moderate risk area, and then this area is a low risk area, which we call the green zone. So this is how you can plot this, and the risk value can be determined by impact into probability into detection, which can be plotted. So coming to risk management, project risk management, so the underlying thought process on this is a simple and systematic, disciplined approach to project risk management can reduce what is called the risks associated with the project and what typically happen as crisis management in the project and the ups and downs that a typical project goes through. It will increase the chances of the success of the project and probably reduce the project manager's stress level by half in the bargain. Okay. Typically, the project risk management can be defined under 5 M's called measure, minimize, mention, monitor, and modify, which you will notice makes easily remembered acronym called MMMMM. The 5 M's of project risk management, which is measure, minimize, mention, monitor, and modify. Let us look at each of these steps. Step number one in project risk management is to measure. Okay. What are we trying to measure? We are trying to measure the risk. We are trying to understand what is the quantum or the size of the risk that this project is impacted by. Okay. So what is the risk that the project may exceed the budget? And what could be the quantum of this excess? Okay. What is the risk that the project will miss the deadline? And what will be the impact or the quantum of this, you know, of this risk? What is the risk that the project will fail to meet any other commitment that the project is all about? Okay. Now, many organizations have checklists, things that have gone wrong in previous similar projects, which is one method of understanding the risk. Then there is another analysis called the possible or potential failure analysis, which helps us to identify the failure points in the project and helps us to this thing. Then the third thing is what can be the causes that are, you know, what could be the probable causes that can happen in future projects, okay? So filling up the checklist can create an impression that, you know, risk is done only by filling checklist, which is a trap and not very useful. So just keep that in mind. A better approach to understanding risk, to identify risks and assess risk will be to invite a team of stakeholders to the risk identification workshop. Now, in this workshop, we brainstorm and discuss at length what could be the possible risks that the project might face and could cause problems or even cause failure. When that list has been created and exhausted, zip through the checklist you managed to lay your hands on, and see if they can prompt anything you hadn't thought of. Stakeholder managers who may have no direct project role will need to be involved to get independent perspectives on the risks that they are inherent in the project to get an understanding of the risk management. Then you have risk checklists. So once you have the risk identified, you prioritize the list, listing first those that can cause major problems and those which are most likely to happen. Though these high impact, high probability risks will clearly need the highest attention. Then decide the medium impact, medium probability risk and the low impact, low probability risks. Okay. Now in the low probability, low impact risk, you can probably ignore them to avoid, you know, cluttering the risk management process or doing management by exception. Tools which can employ risk weighting and which can calculate the overall risk score in a scientific way may add value, but can obscure the fact that one single risk which may not be even considered in the tool can make the whole project a non-starter. So whatever techniques you use to assess, measure and understand the risk, brainstorming, checklists and other tools are very important. Now the second thing that happens is mention. Who owns the project risk and who is ultimately taking the risk of that risk? Or who is taking ownership of that risk? Now the project sponsor, many project sponsors have no idea what the potential risks in the project are, particularly if they are sponsoring technical projects, example IT projects, and they are more interested in the technical side of the project, the implementation side of the project, and have no understanding of the risks. Project managers have the duty to explain the risk to the sponsor before the sponsor gives a go-ahead for the project from a budgetary perspective. So it's very important that they understand the risk. The third M is the monitor, but that isn't the end of the risk management. Clearly, we must make a system by which we monitor and track the risk during the project to make it less likely to keep on reducing the chances of occurrence, and also to minimize the impact that they may cause in case they occur. Now, to understand or to manage the risks, it is important to create what we call a risk register. In the risk register, which could be a software file, it could be in Excel, it could be manually written, is typically list the risks in priority. For each risk, the register might include the risk number, the description of the risk, the consequence if the risk happens, the probability if the risk of the risk is high, medium or low, the planned action to mitigate the risk, contingency plan in case a risk occurs, what will we do and how will we handle it, the risk owner, who owns the risk from the project team, and status, whether it is closed and no longer a risk, and that, you know, phase of that risk occurring is completely over. Now, at typically weekly team meetings, the risk owners report briefly on the status of their risks. What planned or unplanned actions are being taken to reduce the risk? Is this risk receding or growing or remaining constant? This should ensure that the team that is involved in risk reduction activities and refining the risk management plan is constantly in sync with the project management team, and the project management team is also sensitized to what are the risks inherent in the project, what risks are moving out, which risks are possibly growing and thereby increasing the problems that the project could face. Now, it is very important to keep the register updated, and it is important to relegate the receding risks to a lower level of priority and the ones that are growing to push them up in the area of higher probability or higher risk. Now, new risks can always come out of the project. We may not have foreseen it before, we may not have identified it before, and if they are significant, which means they are high impact, high probability, you may add them to the register. You may add all the risks to the register and based on their classification, decide whether you want to act on it or not act on it. So that's the important part. Each month, the project manager should report to the sponsor on the status of the key risks. With good luck, you'll be reporting the success in dealing with the risk. But if the risks are growing, you should obviously alert the sponsor to the fact that the risk is growing, and we must, you know, take account or recognize the importance of that risk in our day-to-day life. The next M is the modify. At the end of each stage of your project, hold a post-mortem, look at what risks you identified, record what you did successfully to deal with each risk, how that risk was overcome, what you tried that worked, what you tried that did not work, and what are our learnings from this for the next project. Now, these ways of addressing the risks will be useful not only to you as a risk manager, but also to the next project and to other project managers. Some organizations also have a project support or project assurance group, which can be used to help understand and modify our response to risks. very critical to do that. Now, when a project manager is starting a new project, he may have identified a risk about which he has no idea how to mitigate. He can then check with this project support group, or he can check with the project risk register and find out what worked well in the past. Ideally, the project support group will be proactive in modifying the organization's risk checklist. They will add new risks that are actually being experienced and delete risks that are no longer applicable within the company. Ideally, they will also seek out useful and successful strategies on how these risks have been addressed, identified, mitigated over the life cycle of the project. So that's the critical part that the project support group can play in risk control and risk management.